Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We have Harley Schlanger here, and we've got lots of topics to talk about. And what's neat about the discussion is we may not agree on everything, but we're able to dialogue and come to some conclusions in terms of whether or not the powers that be, not only in America but Europe and elsewhere, are doing the right or wrong thing, and if they have good intel, and if they understand that the eventual mix has to eventually substitute trade for terrorism and the terror of war. You decide which tea you want, trade, terrorism, or the terror of war. And LaRouche has done a lot of work to try to see if he can encourage that over the decades with all of his organization. Harley, we have a couple of problem child children. The one that I find most concerning to me is the same one you're concerned about, which is Mr. Bolton. I call him Lightning Bolton. This guy has got a very dark future. In fact, we'll be talking about it tomorrow on videos. With not only John W. Spring, who's dug up some very nasty stuff about this man, but if you just look on the surface, he's written a part of the PNAC document. I think he will be pushing hard that if the agreement doesn't come together as they expect with Kim Jong-un, the use of the military option will be pushed like crazy by John Lightning Bolton.
Well, Bolton is someone who sabotaged the possibility of an agreement with North Korea in 2003 and 2004 when Kim Jong-un's father was prepared to negotiate to give up the nuclear program. And Bolton was the one who insisted that they essentially allow their military to be taken over by the United States. In other words, take away their only sense of security and protection. And that fell apart, and that's when North Korea went much more aggressively with their nuclear program.
Right.
Now, what we have going for us now is that the difference is that we now have China working together with Trump. We have the Russians in on this, and the Japanese and South Koreans.
Yeah, and so Russia and China need to be much tighter in this. I think it should be a meeting with both Putin and Xi, or Xi is the proper pronunciation. I was corrected by someone who was one of my listeners over in Asia. And so Xi and Putin need to be at this meeting, or at least their proxies need to be at the meeting, because I don't think this is just a North Korean issue. Do you? Harley, I'm sure we don't. It's not just a North Korean issue. This is a wider issue, isn't it?
Well, it is a wider issue, and look, I think things are moving in the right direction. That's the first thing, the first important.
Yeah. They are.
Secondly, I think President Trump is learning some things. And one of the things he learned is that you can't have someone like Bolton shoot off his mouth whenever he wants to.
Exactly. And in fact, I'll make a prediction, but I want to see your response to this. I'm predicting there's back channels to Vladimir Putin that are probably the most important hidden issue besides the open discussions that seems to be going on with Xi, that because if we make a proper alliance, remember now, it was the alliance with Russia that allowed the American independent independence movement to occur in America to exist and break away from Britain. Without Russia's
Catherine the Great set up something called the League of Armed Neutrality,
right,
which essentially threatened European or British shipping lanes in Europe. But, you know, the Russia situation is important.
Right.
China situation is important. And added to that is that you'd better start looking at the financial crisis, because we're now having a developing market or an emerging market bond blowout that's coming from places like Argentina, Brazil, Venezuela, Turkey. There's a whole series of bond problems that are starting to hit. Secondly, the European Central Bank has no plan to deleverage, to get rid of the bonds they bought, the junk bonds.
Right.
And third, you now have a government coming to power in Italy, which includes some people that I know quite well from
right.
the Lega Nord. And this is really interesting what's happening there. The Lega Nord used to be a separatist movement to try and break the north of Italy from the south. And they realized they'd never come to power doing that. But in the process, they came into contact with the LaRouche movement. And some of the leaders, including Salvini, who's the head of the Lega Nord, I met him in Brussels last fall. He's supporting Glass-Steagall. They have Glass-Steagall in their program. They have an anti-European central bank plank in their program. They're saying they're not going to allow the European Central Bank to tell them whether they can print money or not, whether they can spend money on infrastructure.
Now, you remember, now, of course, the European Central Bank is, in a sense, a branch of the Fed Reserve System. Most people aren't fully aware that the Fed Reserve System is also tied to the American dollar. And also, there's a great input from the Vatican, because the Vatican actually controls the background things of the Central Reserve Bank System of Europe and America.
Well, so, I'll get to that in a moment, though. There's something really interesting that just came out of the Vatican
right.
that plays into this whole Europe situation. But the five-star movement is essentially somewhat of a fraudulent populist movement.
Five-star? Where is that in Europe, a five-star?
Five-star is in Italy. It's Beppo Grillo, the comedian, who set it up as a, you know, more or less as a joke. But
right,
because of
the
overall atmosphere in Europe, it became the second largest vote getter in the last election.
You're kidding. It's going into
a coalition with the Lega Nord. The Lega Nord is sort of a Trump party in Italy. And one of the leaders that I know quite well is a man named Marco Zani, who's a member of the European Parliament, who's an open advocate of Glass-Steagall, of a national credit policy, infrastructure, and a break with the euro. If the ECB does not allow Italy to have sovereignty over its banking and credit policies, he's saying they should leave the euro. And Italy is the third or fourth largest economy in Europe. It's not a small economy, but it's been damaged badly by the European Central Bank and the euro. So they're coming into power as a coalition, and this has the EU bureaucracy completely panicked, because now if you have Brexit coming down, plus Italy moving in that direction, the idea that they can dictate as a central bank with control over finance, they're losing their power. So it becomes very interesting. In Germany now also, you have people discussing ending the sanction policy against Russia, which means breaking with the British and Obama policy of sanctions. So there's a lot happening out of Europe.
Yeah, that's a big deal, because the Russian card is the reason why this Mueller probe and so on is so damaging, because part of the solution to almost all these problems, including the one with China and North Korea, is to get Russia back in negotiating, because we can negotiate with them. They are intelligent people. They're in part of Eastern Europe, to be honest with you, when you look at St. Petersburg, etc. And the history of Russia is not that it's separate, but it's actually part of an extended Europe. What we need to start considering is that the powers that be, including Bolton, wants a kind of a world where Russia is always at odds with us, and we're, in a sense, even trying to exclude China. When Barack Obama excluded China from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that was insane. If you don't include China, how are you going to possibly ever control some of the things they do that are good or bad? and get them to work.
Especially since they're our largest trading partner now.
So exactly. It's insane, isn't it?
The policy, though, was designed by the people who put together PNAC, the Project for a New American Century,
right,
which essentially says the Wall Street City of London banking cartel must be the final authority on all economic policy, investment, credit, and so on. And the Chinese would not buy that. The Russians wouldn't buy it. Look, even Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein wouldn't buy that. Now, we could crush Libya and Iraq, but it's a lot harder to crush China and Russia. And so what you've seen with people like Bolton, with Victoria Nuland, is they're trying to force the Europeans and the Asian countries into an alliance against Russia and China.
And that's insane. That's a suicidal move, isn't it?
It is suicidal, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not just a little suicidal, it's a lot suicidal. I mean, this will guarantee World War III and the destruction of most living things on Earth if we don't solve this. But as you say, Mr. Lightning Bolton is out of his mind and dangerous. Demonically energized. So, Harley, we went into some dialogue about how we need to include a wider array of nations that are actually collaborating. And so please continue that thought.
Well, what I was actually getting at before the break is the strategy of the neoconservatives, the Project for a New American Century, which you correctly identified, is to have a permanent confrontation state between the United States and Russia and the United States and China.
That's why Mueller's doing his game, because it's not just an attack on Trump. It's an attack to make sure we don't have alliances with Russia or sort of problems like North Korea, Iran, and Venezuela, and that we continue to have them balkanize the world into these factions that are at each other's throats rather than working out trade deals and collaborative technology, like we should have high-speed rail technicians coming from China to build a high-speed rail.
The other point is to make sure that countries like Germany and France and Italy, Japan and South Korea, stay in line with the International Monetary Fund, Wall Street, and the City of London. Now, the problem... Yeah,
exactly. In other words, they're trying to keep them corralled into that same massive speculative banking, right?
Yeah, and also to say to them, look, you're endangered by Russia and China, and the only thing standing between you and being vassal states of those two countries is the American military. Now, during the Cold War, that worked, because the Soviet Union was the other superpower, and you didn't know for certain whether they were insane enough to go ahead and launch a war. So what we did in the West is that we adopted this mutual and assured destruction doctrine, which basically said we're crazy enough to launch a nuclear war to restrain the Soviets. But you now have a situation where virtually everyone on the planet, except maybe John Bolton, realizes that nuclear war has to be off the table because of the dangers, and the dangers of annihilation of the human race. So what's happened now is that the countries of Europe bought into the line that they have to stick with NATO and the U.S. against Russia because of the Ukraine situation. Now what's emerging, and it's very clear, and you know we've been right on this all along,
right.
Ukraine is essentially under control of neo-Nazi militia
right.
who work with Poroshenko, who
right.
are
right.
who have the idea that they can provoke Russia to attack them, which will then force the West to go to war with Russia.
Right.
Well, that's not going to happen. But if they could tie up Trump so that Trump cannot meet with Putin, you could have something like that occur.
Oh,
similarly,
yeah.
Now, similarly with Asia, the idea they came up with is to talk about the Indo-Pacific, which is India, Australia, Japan, give special incentives for India to work with the U.S. militarily. And it looked like that was working until just a month ago when Xi Jinping and Prime Minister Modi met in China. They had a two-day marathon discussions, five-hour meetings, two times a day. And they came out of it with what you might call not exactly a 100% treaty, but a series of principled agreements. One set of agreements is to solve the border issues and the military problems between them. The second is to take the strengths of both nations in new technologies, in science, in engineering, in digital technologies, and work together to make that available to all their neighbors. And China promised to work on the Pakistan problem to help India with that. And the two of them agreed also that they would work on Afghanistan. Now, our strategy for Afghanistan...
Yeah, because the previous plan was, by the way, to line up these nations for a future global war with not only the big powers, but these other nations attached to them, like Afghanistan, etc. And Pakistan. And this is extremely dangerous. In other words, it's setting the stage for a future chemical, biological, and thermonuclear war. And that's what we have to face, the music of that. It's really very real. And the warning between, by the way, Pakistan and India is only a 2-minute warning, not 20-minute like the U.S. and Russia. Right. As a result, it would take no problems at all with a mistake to start firing nuclear weapons across the border.
Now, Bill, here's the thing you'll appreciate.
Yeah.
What these countries are beginning to figure out is that they need to listen to LaRouche, because LaRouche did a presentation right around 2000, 1999, 2000, called Storm Over Asia, where he went through how British geopolitics was responsible for the great game, the war between Russia and Britain in Afghanistan in the 19th century,
right,
and two world wars in the 20th century. And Lynn kept stressing, you have to look at British geopolitics as your enemy, not just Britain, but the doctrine which argues and asserts that you can only survive when you have these geopolitical confrontations, neighbor against neighbor, tribe against tribe, religion against religion, so-called clash of civilizations.
Yeah, the balkanization is their means of power, but it's not just a geopolitical war machine. It's a financial machine of the Jersey and Guernsey Island and the Grand Caymans that are still run. The British still run most of the illegal money in the world in banking, and that's what they're using now as their arm of their control, too, is banking as well.
Exactly. That's the theme of a movie called The Spider's Web, which just came out, which is really an excellent documentary. It's based on a book called Treasure Islands, about what you just mentioned, Guernsey, Jersey, the Cayman Islands, the Grand Bahamas.
Right.
These are unregulated tax havens where money disappears in black holes. And not just money from the advanced sector, but 90% of the money that leaves Africa ends up in the City of London tax havens. And this is how...
And by the way, all the illegal drug trade on the planet, including our CIA and FBI, and also the illegal organ trade, all ends up in these British islands, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's happening is that the Chinese and the Russians knew well enough to stay out of these things. What's changed, though, is that they've now established an economic policy and a financial policy on their own, which is not anti-dollar, but it's saying if the dollar is going to continue to be a speculative instrument in the hands of speculators and swindlers, then we need another alternative. And this is where the so-called petro-yuan comes in, where the financial deals that are being made from China, from their government banks, their private banks, to fund the Silk Road, the Belt and Road Initiative. And these are all starting to generate income. There's a very interesting thing that just happened a couple days ago. Putin drove a truck across the new bridge that connects Russia and Crimea. And it's actually a beautiful bridge. You can see on Russia Today a documentary on it. And what Putin said is, this is what we're going to do in the future. We have engineers, we have scientists, we have construction workers, and we're going to build our nation and put our money in our future into these kinds of projects. And this is showing that the Belt and Road spirit, what Helga Zeplerush calls the New Silk Road spirit, is catching on. And it's not just an idea of resisting the West, it's an idea of self-sustained sovereign development.
Plus, it also is what I call not spreading democracy, but spreading acculturation of these communist empires of Russia and China and their affiliates and Muslim countries to come into the 21st century without war. Lots to talk about, including what you mentioned on the break about some policy changes even from the Vatican about derivatives. Please continue.
Well, I would say that one of the things that your listeners have to pay attention to is the real economy. And this is a weakness that Trump has right now because he's being flattered by people like Mnuchin who are saying, look, the tax bill was great. We're now having a growing economy, more people working, the productivity is up, the growth rate is up. And to tell you the truth, most of those figures that they cite are the same figures that Obama was citing, that Trump was attacking when he was running for president. And Trump should know better than to jump on the bandwagon of an inflated stock market bubble. Because what actually is occurring is, as I mentioned before, these bonds of many nations are in trouble. As interest rates start to go up, the money is going to get pulled out of the stock markets. It's probably going to go into some of the bond markets. But the corporate bond markets are completely unsustainable. And so what you have is a situation where the volume of money that was created to bail out the world after 2008 has largely ended up in the hands of the too big to fail banks, the central banks. They printed money, gave it to the banks, and the banks deposited it in the central banks, or they sold the central banks their bad debt. And the central banks are sitting there with record volumes of bad debt that they've got to get rid of.
Right.
Who's going to buy them? Who's going to buy junk bonds a year from now?
Well, they revalue them. What they do is repackage them, just like the 2008-9 crash. And the speculative economy, I'll throw this number out, is almost 500 times the actual GDP of the entire world. That's not sustainable, is it?
No, it's not. And worse, they came up with these in the early, the 1990s, the end of the 90s, early 2000s, this concept of derivatives, of ways that you can create leverage for banks to generate new credit for speculation based on instruments that don't really even exist, that have no value, that are written as counterparties between banks, sort of like letters of credit without anything to back them up. And so what is clear, this is with the problem with Deutsche Bank, it's the problem with Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, J.P. Morgan Chase, all of them are sitting on volumes of these financial derivatives, and they play this game that they're insured by something called credit default swaps. But if you look at the credit default swap markets, you'll find that they're even less liquid than the derivative markets.
Right.
So how can you insure something with an instrument that's worthless? How do you ensure?
Well, you know, the magicians use a term called prestidigitation or magic. That's what you guys see going on here. It's sleight of hand. And what's really dangerous about this, and people don't understand, is the move, the advance of cryptocurrencies. I talked about this yesterday on the show, that we now have a move toward a crypto dollar with $3 billion being invested by gold by Goldman Sachs and other corporations. What's going on now is the currency markets are about to collapse. If Europe decides to leave, let's say, the euro, how are they going to back up their actually new currency, and what are they going to back it up with? Are they going to back it up with gold? I think it would be a wise thing for all these nations to pass Glass-Steagall, back the U.S. dollar with gold, tie the currencies to the U.S. dollar so that there's a fixed exchange rate like Bretton Woods, and then things can stabilize. But right now, this is an unstable situation, and like the Pope says, we got to stop all this derivatives craziness. That's one of the new good things he's saying. It's like, yeah, this is nuts. I don't know if it's too late, though, because there's so much debt out there now, it's crazy.
It is interesting that the Vatican issued the statement, because it coincides with the insurgency in Italy against the European Union. And the problem in Italy is that a once very strong manufacturing economy with aerospace, machine tool, all kinds of projects of that sort, is now dependent increasingly on getting credit from the European Union to roll over bad debt. And the Italian people voted repeatedly against it, but they finally have a government coming in that's saying what everyone believes, which is that the European Union is a bunch of crooks and swindlers, and the Italian governments that have been imposed by the European Union stole from the Italian people and swindled them. Now, what happens if in Italy you have a government that says we're going to start investing in the real economy and the EU says no, that's a violation of EU law?
Right.
The new government will say we're not going to do it. So yesterday, Juncker, the head of the European Committee, which runs the EU, said that we're getting a government of barbarians coming in Italy. And one of the leaders, Di Matteo, of this new government said, better to live as barbarians than as slaves.
Yeah, so that's a good Italian sense of humor, hey?
Yeah. And so this is
why these maniacs in the European Union, Strasbourg, and in Brussels, said, we're not even going to give you the money to actually rebuild your homes after the earthquake hit last year. Remember? In Central Italy?
Sure.
Yeah, how crazy is that? Oh, don't worry. You're not going to get water supply rebuilt. You're not going to rebuild your homes. We're not going to give you the money.
Well, they're saying, under European law, you can't create the money in your own country to do it, and we're not going to loan it to you.
Whoa.
Because this is this crazy...
Yeah, that's the other thing is, they couldn't even sell their excess, say, cheese... and other products in Greece to actually get out of their economy. I remember the story, we talked about this about 2 years ago, of a mother and her son jumping off Syntagma Bridge, you know, in central Athens to kill themselves because the economy was so bad. And a lot of their bennies that went away because they borrowed money to have all these benefits so you could retire at 55. It's a disaster. I mean, even the economy of Italy has not grown in 10 years. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, and let's be honest, the American economy hasn't really grown either. What's grown is it's like someone saying the growth of a cancerous tumor at least is growth.
Well, you're seeing as the transnational corporations somewhat talking about repatriation if they don't pay tax. That's what's going on.
What are they doing with the money? They're not putting it into something physical. The whole point of credit is that you want to invest it in a way that increases the return through adding value to your production.
Well, they should have made that a stipulation of this new tax bill, but they didn't. And then it even sunsets for the so-called middle class in 2025, which is only 6 years and a few months away. So people need to know, that's why Trump is talking about a phase two of the tax thing. They need to have stipulations to make sure when they get these billions of dollars, they don't just reinvest into the speculative marketplace.
Well, the problem is Jamie Dimon, who I usually don't quote, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, said something truthful. He said the Trump tax bill is quantitative easing 4. In other words, corporations could bring money back to this country with no stipulation as to how to use it. So what did they do? Stock buybacks. Some of these companies are putting 70 to 90% of the money they're repatriating into buying their own stock. So they're giving $500 or $1,000 bonuses to key employees, but that's a one-time deal. Then they're saying to the employees, use that money to buy our company's stock. Now, what's happening with the company's corporate profits? They're not going up. Their productivity is stagnant. Their wages are stagnant. So that's not growth. And for someone like Mnuchin to tell Trump, go out and campaign on the fact that you're improving the economy, and this is what Bannon is saying and others, that's setting Trump up for when Wall Street pulls the plug. They're going to say Trump recovery became the Trump depression.
Yeah, now Trump is, now Bannon is outside, you know, his other brain, or Trump's other brain is outside, and he's actually saying things that are truthful, and Trump's not listening, is he?
Well, no, I'd say Bannon, on the economy, Bannon is really bad. Because Bannon still has this Goldman Sachs side to him.
Yeah, but I'm saying that some of the things that are going on are, you know, you can't just repatriate corporations without paying tax or determining that they have to invest in real production, a physical economy like Linda LaRouche talks all about.
Well, I don't know what the Chinese did
during the Depression and the disaster of 2008-9. The Chinese didn't say, hey, we're in a disaster. They invested in the real economy, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't
know. No, the opposite of what we did. We put money into the speculative economy, went poof and disappeared. They actually put it into production and high-speed rail and other things. Right?
That's a big difference. Exactly.
Big difference. Boy.
But it wasn't because I didn't know enough.
I can tell you're trying to start talking while the commercial's on, which is nice and loud, and unfortunately on Skype it blocks you. And I'm working to try to see if I can get the Lucy app working, which I have to train myself because George is so busy he doesn't have the time. But I'll get it all worked out, and eventually I'll get it to you. Please continue.
Here's what I was going to tell you is that I just got the executive summary of this new Vatican document from the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. It's a 10,000-word document, and the title is Considerations for an Ethical Discernment Regarding Some Aspects of the Present Economic Financial System. And it describes derivatives as a ticking time bomb which takes away vital lifelines and investments to the real economy.
Right.
It's described by Politico as a blistering critique of the global financial industry. And it refers to the ethical void which allows the creation of so-called markets, which are opaque and unregulated. And what you were just saying earlier, volumes by 100 times larger than the money that's going into the real economy, hundreds of times larger than what goes into the real economy. And in particular, they talk about credit default swaps, where they say that the volume of credit default swaps being sold, that is actual money passing hands, was greater than the GDP of the entire world. And the money passing hands was only a fraction of the valuation of these instruments. So what the Vatican document says is that it's encouraging the growth of a finance of chance, gambling on the failure of others, and this is unacceptable from an ethical point of view. And they said there was an opportunity in 2008 to address it, and governments failed to do so. Now, what's interesting about this is that I don't think Pope Francis has suddenly become an economic genius. I think there are some people in the Curia who are looking closely at what's happening in Europe and saying that, look, Europe is not going to survive if we continue these European Union banking policies.
Or it'll mutate into something totalitarian that's very ugly. And that's the other possibility. You know, the rise of the Fourth Reich could occur if this is not done properly, right?
Yeah, well, we see that in Ukraine, where here you have the European governments who signed this agreement called the Minsk Accord, which the Russians are adhering to, the Ukrainians are not,
right.
And the Ukrainians are threatening to go in and start shooting people in eastern Ukraine who are ethnic Russians, and Europe is silent on this. Europe was basically silent when Netanyahu started shooting, the Israeli soldiers started shooting at unarmed Palestinians who were demonstrating. So Europe as a whole is an ethical void. But there are people in Europe who are beginning to realize that there is, as you said earlier, there is no future. This is not a future-oriented society because there's no inspiration for young people to create anything of value. So how do you change that? Well, I think this is very interesting, and you know, I'm not ready to sign off on what the Pope said. I just think it's an interesting reflection of the degree to which people are figuring out that the direction we've gone in economically in the last 30 years is, you might say, the false idol.
Yeah, exactly. And that false idol is dangerous. I think that LaRouche sees in the long distance. He's like a geopolitical prophet, if you want to call it. And he sees that if nation states don't take these issues seriously that look like they're just trade or economy or how you direct the money, it can result in nasty things happening like the rise of, say, the Third Reich or, in the future, a Fourth Reich, a totalitarian superstate that takes over Europe because it collapses into a disaster and because it's not managed properly becomes a horrific superstate. And people think, well, that can't happen. Yes, it can. It can happen over a generation, 10 or 20 years. Bad things can happen, can't they?
Well, when you give total control over banking and finance to bankers who are mostly concerned with their own status, their own second and third homes, their second and third wives, these right. kinds of things, where there's no morality, there's only greed, and the ability is given to them to act on their greedy instincts, then when you start crushing populations, there will be reactions.
Oh, yeah. In fact, here's one of the things that I'm concerned about, that maybe, and this is all, I'm going to throw this up and see what you think of it, that maybe a lot of this stuff, like the speculative economy and so on, is not by chance. It's almost like having a bunch of firefighters ending up in a scene, and then you see some of the firefighters actually putting ballistic explosives around the building while some people are trying to put the fire on the roof. And those ballistic explosives, if the fire gets close enough, they're going to blow the building all to pieces. So maybe, and I'm just saying this sort of as a maybe they want the speculative economy to blow up the current financial system, so whatever they have in the wings is far more dangerous, like an e-currency and total global control. That's where I see this going, is that perhaps the powers that be are literally fanning the flames of disaster by making bad choices on purpose. Maybe not just by chance and trying to see if they can cover it up. Maybe they're actually trying to create a catastrophe so they have their planned catastrophe to actually take over the world.
Bill, there's something called unintended consequences when you do things like that. And one of the unintended consequences was the rise of China.
Right.
Because China was expected to continue as a Maoist totalitarian state, which kept people backward and ignorant and down in the farm, living by the iron rice bowl policy. And instead, you had some very forward thinkers, Jiang Zemin and others, and now Xi Jinping, who recognize that the future of China is with science and technology. And so they've made a leap. And as a result, and they did it because they were rejecting the terms that were offered to them by the international bankers, including by Obama. Obama thought he could charm the Chinese, and the Chinese said, why would we buy into your collapsing system? Putin was even more direct. Putin said, why would I eat someone else's spoiled food? When he was said that, look, Russia has no debt. Why don't you create some debt using your dollar reserves and buy Western financial instruments? And he said, why would I eat someone else's spoiled food? All it will do is give me indigestion. And at that point, the Western bank said, Putin's the enemy.
Yeah.
Putin's the devil. Putin's
right.
Stalin. So, you know, what we're seeing is an emergence of new thinking, which takes the best of the American system and combines it, as the Chinese call it, socialism with Chinese characteristics. Now, what they mean by socialism is taking care of the people. And well, how do you take care of the people? A welfare state? Well, the Chinese already realized that didn't work. So what they want is to have an entrepreneurial state based on science and technology with Confucian characteristics. And anyone who studied Confucius knows that Confucius philosophy has a very lot in common with the Christian philosophy.
It's parallel to Judeo-Christianity, isn't it?
Exactly.
Like ancient Israel. It's so similar, it's amazing.
And this is why the idea of the Belt and Road is catching on. I was meeting with an African diplomat the other day, and it was very interesting because he's from a relatively wealthy, well-to-do African country. But what he said to me is, look, people don't realize we used to have intellectuals in my country. They were all killed by the colonials. When the Belgians and the Brits came in, they started killing the intellectuals and building up the tribal structure, destroying the cities and building up the tribal structure so that we would go become a backward people. And he said, and his ancestors, he's talking about 300 years ago, They were reading Plato in his country. They were studying the great Persian Renaissance of Avicenna and Averroes. And he said, we've got to get back to that. And so we're building new universities, and we're bringing in Chinese professors and German professors and the few American professors who still believe in the American system.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to get America to return to its roots, which have made America great in the first place. And we got to get Trump back on track with the people around him. I'm hoping to have a back door that you can get information through to Trump. I'm sending some letters to him tomorrow on several different topics, including negotiations with Iran, North Korea, missile defense, and what you say on the economy. I think there's a backdoor in negotiating with Xi, the president of China, and Putin. And I know he doesn't let his staff talk about the fact that backdoor is still open, because the regular media attack Trump no matter what he says if he's negotiating for better days with Russia, China, and the World Trade Organizations, etc. The media doesn't want it, because the globalists are behind that crazy media, aren't they?
They sure are.
Amazing.
Were you looking for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.